When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
Authority. Why, they don't even understand the simplest history. She spouts the Holy Scripture as if it were sacred truth. Why must this be the way I have to waste my youth? Life was made for dancing under a moonlit starry sky. If other girls go dancing, why can't I? Why must I be living under her narrow-minded roof? If there really is a God, why can't they show me proof? Why am I the fated daughter of such pompous piety? Why must I be forced to swallow such religiosity? Life was made for dreaming, trusting that you can touch the sky. So damn it! Can't I become a brilliant actress on the stage? The only acting I'm allowed is when I'm told to act my age. Life is for exploring, soaring through a cloudless sky. So tell me, why can't I? This is such a changing world. Abraham of old, don't put me on the funeral pyre. There's so much more that I desire. I've got a different kind of fire. I won't be bought and sold. I will not be controlled. Life was made for dancing under a moonlit starry sky. If other girls go dancing, then someone.
Well, if any Broadway performer has a different kind of fire, it's our guest today on Broadway to Main Street, Carolee Carmello. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so great to hear that Titanic number from Scandalous, for which you were nominated for a Tony. So today, on Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, we're emanating today out of the great thoroughfare of Broadway. We're going to take a look at your career and some of the things that influenced you.
Oh, my goodness.
So, we're thrilled. So, of course, I have to say up front that you are currently co-starring in Sweeney Todd with Norm Lewis.
That's right.
At the Barrow Street Theater, where you're knocking him dead, literally. And audiences are eating it up.
So, yeah, it's quite an interesting production. We're having a good time.
Great. Well, we'll get back to talk about that. So you are, I don't know, do you like, is Broadway veteran something, do you like the word veteran or...
I mean, I suppose it fits. It makes me feel a little old, but then I am a little old, so I think it's appropriate.
But you've done an astonishing 14 Broadway shows.
Yes.
So that's like twice as many as Merman did or something like that.
You know, I just did a reading this last year or so of a musical about her, and I remarked on how, you know, I mean, she did shows for a long period of time,
right,
but there weren't that many, really. It's astonishing.
But I guess as Spencer Tracy said, what was there was Cherse, right?
It's true.
She made her mark. Well,
sure did.
Let's talk a little bit. You grew up in upstate New York.
Yes,
in Albany.
In Albany, yeah.
And I'm sort of curious, the first thing we're going to hear is something you said that you and your folks used to play on the Garrard Hi-Fi, and you and your brother enjoyed.
Yes. I wasn't really a performing kid. You know, I didn't do shows as a child, and I guess I took some dance classes or things like that that my mom signed me up for. I don't think it was particularly, you know, my passion at that time. But I do have memories of sort of hamming it up around the living room with my brothers, singing to the Platters, the Greatest Hits, I think it was, that my parents had the album of.
And you probably didn't know at the time that it was Jerome Kern you were jumping around to.
I did not know at all.
So it was a precursor. So here is Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, one of your favorite records growing up.
That's right.
Ask me how I knew my true love was true. I lost with the light, something here inside cannot be denied. That someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, when your heart's on fire, you must realize smoke gets in your eyes. I chant them and I gaily laugh to think they could doubt my love. Yet today my love has flown away. I am I cannot hide. So I smile and say, when a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes.
Smoke gets in your eyes.
Smoke gets in your eyes.
Your
Well, we went from the platters to the platinum chops of Carly Carmello. Well done.
I was just remembering that recording session and how sick I was, terribly sick with a sinus infection. We recorded it in London, and I just, that's the only memory I have of doing that. So I'm glad it came out okay, sort of.
Came out more than okay.
Thank you.
So you segued into a performing career after college.
Yes, after college. I had no plans, really, to end up in this line of work at all. I was pretty single-minded about going to business school and got my degree in business administration in French.
Wow.
And
where was that?
SUNY Albany.
Oh, fabulous school.
Yeah, it was a good business school, and I enjoyed it. But then I kind of found myself at a crossroads and wasn't sure what to do after graduation. I was considering law school. I was considering an MBA program. I was considering just kind of moving to New York and looking for a job. And then this opportunity came up to do a summer stock theater job, which came out of a little kind of community theater show that I had done and the producer had seen me in. So I decided that would be fun for the summer to just kind of relax in the Adirondacks up in Lake George and kind of, you know, formulate my plan. And my plan got sort of sidetracked.
Fate had other ideas.
I guess so.
Now, I read somewhere, I hope this is true, that our next number was your audition song for a long time, Golden Rainbow.
It was. It was my 16 bars for many, many years.
Because I'm a huge Steve Lawrence fan. And I just, how did you, of all the songs in the world, how did that one come your way?
I think it was a musical director that I knew helped me find it, because I, you know, with 16 bars, when you go in for a chorus call and you want to show off some big notes, you want to pick something that's going to highlight. I think it ended on like an E flat or something. And so I would just go in there and, you know, spout my belted E flat and hope for the best. And it did get me some chorus jobs, I have to say. So I hung on to it for quite a few years.
Very cool. Well, let's hear Steve Lawrence change some keys at the end of Golden Rainbow.
Golden rainbow, shine above me. Once is all I'm asking for. Golden rainbow, now I need you. Never needed you more. Golden rainbow, make me lucky. Make my golden dream come true. Break the clouds and bring me sunshine. I'm depending on you. I'll never ask again if you give me this one thing. I want no more if you give me this dream. One little turn of luck and I'll really be something. I want it, I need it, I'm asking, I'm begging, please. Golden rainbow, come up shining. Bring me fortune, you know how. If you're ever gonna touch me, golden rainbow, won't you make it now? Make it now. Make it now.
And you're hired, Miss Carmello.
Boy, does that bring back memories.
I'm glad.
Then I would get to the dance audition and not do so well in that part.
Well, you did extraordinarily well. You worked on Broadway and then did a lot of work with, what would you say, sort of those big mega musicals of the early 80s, mid-80s, yeah? Les Mis on tour. And
I did I did for a year. I did Les Mis, the First National. Did I do any other big mega musicals?
Well, you did some of their progenitor or whatever, their successors, things like Scarlet Pimpernel.
Oh, that's true. That was, that was further down the line. Yeah. But I was lucky to fall in with some of the younger composers that were coming up at the same time, like Michael John Lacusa and Bill Finn and, you know,
and Jason
Andrew
Robert
Lippa,
Brown, who we'll get to.
Jason
sure.
Robert Brown, yeah. Great people who were, you know, creating this great musicals that were new to me. I mean, you know, growing up, I never heard anything like that. So it was exciting for me to be around them and to sing their music and originate things. That was exciting.
Well, you couldn't have served a better segue to our next number,
which
is from
hear?
Hello Again. And kids out there, just be careful when you listen to this number. But this must have been a huge breakthrough. What a cast of people there were in it, and what a song to have written for you.
Yeah, this the role was fantastic, and I was shocked to get it. It was one of those parts that I auditioned for and never thought I had a chance at. And what a cast. I mean, everyone in that show went on to do great things. And, you know, John Cameron Mitchell and Michael Park and Malcolm Getz, who we were just talking about,
right.
Michelle Park and Donna.
Well, we're going to hear two Carole Carmello, Michael Park duets in a row.
Oh.
So we'll hear first from Hello Again, and then we'll go to Tuck Everlasting.
Oh, sweet.
All right. So here we are in a movie theater in the 1930s.
To stay after class.
It's an awful movie.
Forgive me.
Fred Astaire dancing on a boat.
I missed you.
I'm leaving.
No. I should have found you in some other life. I should have found you before you were married.
If my husband finds out, he'll throw me out on the street. And I'll have to sell pencils or apples. Or other things.
Remember last time?
In the park.
In the rowboat.
We were naked.
It was perfect.
It was cold. What if my husband...
He's a bore.
He supports me.
And he's stuffy.
He's in business.
And he's old.
I'm leaving.
No.
I'm morally bankrupt. My reputation is at stake. My marriage is at stake. He gives me everything. Well, almost everything. I hate to lie to him. He's going out of town next week.
That's good.
Again.
You have to leave him.
You're insane.
But I love you.
Please don't love me.
But I love you.
This is wrong. At Miss Farmingham's, I was voted most likely to succeed. I'm morally bankrupt. I hate Ginger Rogers. I think that I'm dying.
I have to relax and just let her, sweet Jesus, enjoy it. Stay focused. Her tongue is, her lips are. I know there's trouble ahead. Why can't I get it up and keep it up without all the work? Story of my life. It's just a sorry little story of my life. I never dreamed it would occur. That is, till I met her, the one I think I love. Let's face the music instead. I never worked so hard to keep it hard. And then I met her and had her. And then I lost interest.
It's her fault.
It's my fault. To think that stealing someone's lonely little wife would be the greatest of adventures in the sorry little story of my life.
We've got a problem. Once again.
What does that mean?
It's a problem.
I can't help
it.
No, you can't. It happened last time.
When was that?
In the rowboat.
I was freezing.
Is it my fault?
Try again.
No.
You were voted most likely to succeed.
The floor is filthy. Look, popcorn on my knees.
You want me to fail like my father, like my mother, everybody.
I'm leaving.
Fine. Go.
I'm not your father. I'm not your mother. I'm not your maid or your nurse. I'm a married woman.
I have to just think of before she gave in to.
Look at my kneecaps and my dress. It's disgusting. It's unhealthy. This is sickness. I need more.
I don't. I have everything now.
When can I see you again?
You have a husband.
I don't care. I have to see you. Well, someplace.
Well, the zoo.
The zoo? Bankrupt. Have I reduced myself to this? This cheap and sick affair? I was an innocent. Well, almost innocent. In front of animals. The zoo. When?
Soon.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. I have to leave, darling. Mother's expecting me for dinner. I'll go first. I love you. Now it won't go down.
I'm morally bankrupt.
Every grown woman who stands at a mirror remembers one beautiful day. Every girl past her prime knows the date and the time she looked most exquisite. And she will revisit, revisit, revisit the day. Her most beautiful day. For the rest of her life. My most beautiful day. Pa took me dancing and everything fell into place. My hair tied like so with a blackberry bow. A night in November that I will remember, remember, remember the day. Most beautiful day for the rest of my life. Each memory a sweet melody your heart clings to. With each passing day, what time takes away, the heart makes new. Looking back. Looking back is something to look forward to. Your most beautiful day for the rest of your
Hey. April, May, June, July. A Sunday when the chapel's free. True love is in short supply. Darling May, marry me.
One of the things I find striking about you among the other singing actresses of your generation is we were talking about Tuck Everlasting, written by Chris Miller and Nathan Tyson, who are graduates of the NYU Musical Theater Writing Program. You made your entire career almost with entirely new material. You never had that revival of a Rodgers and Hammerstein show like Audra and Carousel that kind of let you sort of vault over a little bit. You sort of did it the hard way, and you did it all with original material, which is really phenomenal.
I would have been glad to have one of those revivals. Believe me, they just didn't come my way. I auditioned for all of them, and I tried. But for some reason, those newer composers found something about me that was more appealing than the people who were casting the big revivals.
Well, they were wrong. One of the things I really admire about you is your ability to structure a song. I think you have both a dramatic and a musical sense of architecture of how a song works.
Oh, that's nice
so
of you.
I'm going to play a song that I saw Dorothy Loudon sang at the Schubert in the 1980s, which is I think a textbook great song that not too many people know, but it's from Ballroom and it's 50%. We're going to hear Carole Carmello do her version of it.
A year and a half ago, that Maury would be gone, I wouldn't have believed it. If anyone had told me I would open up a store, make a go of it, what's more, I wouldn't have believed it. If anyone had told me a year and a half ago that I'd be dancing, going to a ballroom and dancing, I'd have said, who, me? I'd have said, not me. If anyone had told me a year and a half ago that there would be a man, I wouldn't have believed it. To think my eyes would shine again, that what was lost would be mine again, I wouldn't have believed it. I don't iron his shirts, I don't sew on his buttons, I don't know all the jokes he tells or the songs he hums, though I may hold him all through the night. He may not be here when the morning comes. I don't pick out his ties or expect his tomorrows, but I feel when he's in my arms, he's where he wants to be. We have no memories, bittersweet with time, and I doubt if he'll spend New Year's Eve with me. I don't share his name, I don't wear his ring, there's no peace someone belong to you. So I don't share his name, so I don't wear his ring, so there's no piece of paper saying that he's mine. So we don't have the memories, I have enough memories, I've washed enough mornings, I've dried enough evenings,
I'm sorry, but that's a masterclass to me as how to structure a song, a ballad like that. How do you work through, what do you look for? How do you approach a piece of material like that?
Gosh, you know, a lot of it is instinctual, but then, you know, a big part of it, I think, is just making sure that you allow yourself some place to travel within the story of the song and have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and that you have some sort of transformation that happens mm-hmm. over the course of the lyric, which, you know, when you have a great lyric like that, it's not...
It's the Bergmans.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
And I also notice, maybe this is too technical, but she has lines like, There's no piece of paper, right? It's such a great sound. And then you have all, what is it? Then all of anybody else. At, I mean, you have these A set, these vowels that you can really kind of get inside and sort of expand emotionally into.
Yes.
So I imagine that song is kind of a gift to a singer.
It really is. I mean, just lyrically, certainly. I mean, those kind of lyricists that understand, you know, the poetry of a musical theater song are so rare, and when you come across a song that's so well written like that, it is a gift.
Well, you're giving me these amazing segues, because when we're talking about poets of lyricism, we have to get to Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? And,
the king.
And one of the reasons you're here, among many, is you're playing Mrs. Lovett currently in this off-Broadway revival at Barrow Street of Sweeney Todd.
Yes.
And I saw not only Dorothy Loudon play Mrs. Lovett, because she replaced Angela Lansbury, but Angela Lansbury, I think I've seen 15 Mrs. Lovetts.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I must say, you bring not only the vocal chops, which we knew going in, I guess, but the humor and her past life I've never seen as well expressed or developed. When you talk about your husband and what you want and why he might be a second chance for you, I've never seen an actor sort of develop her biography nearly as well as your performance.
Oh, that's so interesting. Thank you. My goodness. I felt the weight of the world going into that show, because I had never done the role. And like you said, there's so many iconic women have played it and played it so beautifully. So thank you. That's a really high compliment. I think it's so well written. Again, it's just, you know, you can't thank him enough for the lyrics. And also the book is so great.
Yeah, it's, and watching it is, even if you had your eyes closed, it would be a pleasure, because it's so well constructed and everything leads so beautifully. And if you know, even if you know the show, this production, because of its intimacy, because would you say there are 100 people?
130.
Plus yeah. Meat pies and things like that in the audience. It's really a, quote, in-your-face production in every sense of the word. You go, oh, I never noticed that before. Oh, that's a lyric I've heard 100 times, but now in this context, it's revelatory in that way.
Yes, I think you're right. A lot of people who have come to the show who know the show well, like you do, have said that. And I think it's also because of the scaled-down version of it, that there's only 8 of us in the cast. And so sometimes I think in productions that are much grander, when you have 20 people singing in the ensemble, some of those lyrics go by because you're listening to the beautiful vocal arrangement or the soaring music of it. And now when it's so bare bones, I think you really hear, you know, those brilliant lyrics so crystal clear.
Yeah, fascinating. Now, did you see Angela?
Oh, only on YouTube.
Only on YouTube. Well, since we don't have you yet singing Mrs. Lovett, let's hear a little of Angela.
Oh, yes.
Why doesn't Beadle Bamford come? Before the week is out, that's what he said.
And who says the week is out yet? It's only Tuesday.
Ah!
Easy now, hush, love, hush. Don't distress yourself, what's your rush? Keep your thoughts nice and lush. Wait. Hush, love, hush. Think it through. Once it bubbles, then what's to do? Watch it close, let it brew. Wait. I've been thinking flowers, maybe daisies, to brighten up the room. Don't you think some flowers, pretty daisies, might relieve the gloom? Wait, love, wait.
And what about the judge? When will I get to him?
Oh, can't you think of nothing else? Always brooding on your wrongs, what happened heaven knows how many years ago. Slow, love, slow, time so fast. Now goes quickly, see now it's past. Soon will come, soon will last. Wait. Don't you know, silly man, half the fun is to plan the plan. All good things come to those who can wait. the daisies. I don't know though, what do you think?
Yes.
Gillyflowers, I'd say. Nothing like a nice bowl of gillies.
Wow, so you have the chance to play Mrs. Lovett. We were talking about second chances that don't always come around. And you had the chance on Broadway when 1776, the revival, moved to the Gershwin.
Yes.
You played Abigail Adams.
I did.
But it makes you the only performer in history to also have played John Adams. So we're going to hear that. So
that
tell us a little
of,
bit
yes.
of that. Well,
oh,
in public,
my goodness.
In public at any rate.
As I said before, I wasn't a performing kid, but I always, you know, every year 1776, the movie would play on television. And, you know, at that time when I was, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, when I was a kid, there was no such thing as YouTube. You couldn't see.
Or VHS.
No. I mean, all you had were cast albums and the movies that played, you know, Sound of Music and 1776 and West Side Story. They played them like once a year. And there were only three channels, kids,
right.
So you watched them. And I just remember being so stirred by his performance. I just thought he was so brilliant, and I didn't even know what I was watching. You
mm-hmm.
know, I was so green to that whole world of musical theater, but there was something about William Daniels that just touched me in a way that I didn't understand, and I just thought, that's special. That's sparkling. There's, you know, fireworks coming out of his eyes. And I've never met the man. I hear that you might be talking to him soon.
Yes, so. There is a rumor he may be appearing in our studio.
If he does, please tell him how brilliant he is from me.
I'm sure he will love to hear that. So let's hear you sing the 11 o'clock number from 1776 as a concert at 54 Below.
Yes, it was. What a thrill. Oh, my God. It's, you know, over the years when people have asked me, is there any male role that you've always wanted to play? That was the one. And I saw on Twitter, oddly enough, you know, this is the power of social media. I saw on Twitter that they were going to produce an all-female version of 1776 at 54 Below. And I sent a little email and I said, if you don't have a John Adams, I volunteer my services. And that's how it happened. And I was thrilled to be a part of it. It was so fun.
Fabulous. Let's hear it.
How silent the chamber.
Is anybody there? Does anybody care? Does anybody see what I see?
Wow. So wait, so not to put too fine a point, but you play John Adams, Abigail Adams, and you were in the Adams family.
No relation.
No relation. Let's turn to a show that I think if people remember so fondly. I was very struck by the fact that this duet appears on so many compilation albums of great Broadway moments, and it's you and Brent Carver in Parade from 99. Talk a little bit about that, what that show meant to you, how you got to do it, what it was like.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. That was the first time that I ever created a role from the beginning and ended up playing it on Broadway. That was my very first original role, on the Broadway stage, at least. And it came about because I was doing an off-Broadway show called John and Jen, which is also very fondly remembered. This really well-written story about a brother and sister, and written by Andrew Lippa, and it's just Jason Robert Brown did the orchestrations for the show. It was a tiny little at the Lambs Theater,
right?
And Hal Prince came to see it because his daughter Daisy was friends with Jason at the time, and that's how that all came about. So they brought me in to audition for it. I didn't really know the story of Leo Frank. I learned a lot about it in the process, but boy, what an experience to work with Hal, to work with Alfred Urey and Jason Robert Brown, of course, and just so beautifully written. And it was also one of those experiences that was so devastating when it ended. You know, it was, I think, one of the most brilliant shows that I've ever had a chance to work on, and yet it didn't have the life that I believed it deserved. You know, it just fell into financial trouble, and, you know, we ended too soon. But thankfully there's the cast recording, which we almost didn't get to do, but we did.
Wow.
So
so here's another Lincoln Center recording. We heard Hello Again, and thankfully it preserved two wonderful performances for posterity.
I will never understand what I did to deserve you, or how to be the man that I'm supposed to be. I will never understand if I live a thousand lifetimes why you did the things you did for me. Just look at you, how could I not be in love with you? What kind of fool could have taken you for granted for so long? All the wasted time, all the million hours pushing you away, building up my world. Push you out, and I never knew anything at all. I never knew anything at all.
I will never understand how all the world misjudged you, when I have always known how lucky I must be. I will never understand how I kept from going crazy, just waiting there till you came home to me. Now look at me, now that you're finally here with me,
now that I know I was right to wait, and everyone else was so wrong for so long. All the wasted time, all the million hours, years on top of years, still too proud to crawl. All the days gone by to feel that I don't satisfy, and I never knew anything at all.
From Parade. Well, this is Larry Maslin, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on WPPB, and we're funded by a generous grant from the Ira and Leonore Gershwin Philanthropic Fund. And we've had an amazing hour today with Carolee Carmello, who is one of the great Mrs. Lovetts over on Barrow Street.
Oh, thank you.
And one of, you know, just this incredible pillar of emotion and integrity and talent and craft for the Broadway stage for some time. So I'm glad we got to go through some recordings of yours. It was a lot to choose from, Carolee, I got to tell you. And I found this song, which I thought, oh, it's from a Bill Finn's projected musical based on Kaufman's Royal Family.
Yes.
And thankfully, you recorded it, because to me, it sums up a lot of what your integrity is and what your devotion is as an artist. I think it's pretty phenomenal.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's really been a pleasure, and thanks for all the memories.
Oh, same here. Go see Sweeney Todd.
Tears, I
wed. The drama doesn't need to be my daily bread. That goodness and warmth are as dramatic in their way as any Broadway play, Broadway bound. Yes, goodness and warmth are as dramatic in their way as any Broadway play. I have found I have lived in the clouds for so long. I like it more on the ground. Was I lost? Pretty near it. Now my spirit, I have found.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.